There it is.
That's rude. Thank you, Robo Lady.
Right.
Y'all yeah, like the TikTok woman, don't
TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. What's up, hoes? We here. We are here. We are live. We are in living color. We are here. It is the Fellas Point of View podcast, and every box is filled this evening with some handsome men, but I done told y'all to stay out their goddamn inboxes, even though there's some of them will claim to be hoes. Their fame is hoes. Not me. Not me. But we have a guest star.
Eyes, you tell.
The main one. The main one.
I'm not a hoe. I'm not a hoe. I'm
unusual if them legs ain't in the air.
I'm virtuous. Yes.
Those feet are white, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you believe it?
Right.
No. They have much color in them. Yes, right. They do.
You're still making it for the boys.
Y'all know what to do right now. Share the damn podcast. And you know when you're over there on Apple, make sure you give us 5 stars. 5 stars. Share. Don't keep it to yourself. We have a lot. We have a lot.
Tell all your damn friends like a good rumor.
Tell all your friends, baby. All your friends.
All of them, bitch. Even when you hook ups, tell them on Grindr, bitch. I don't care.
Oh, Lord.
Bring all of them with you. Hell, turn us on while in the middle of an orgy. We will talk sweet nothings into your ear in rhythmic sound. On this podcast, just share it. God damn it.
They ever get trying to get us to get an OnlyFans.
Exactly.
He trying to get us OnlyFans. OnlyFans, baby. OnlyFans.
My bitch, they right. They sure is right, bitch. Don't shoot that in my eye now.
Yeah. Terry.
I mean, you know, OnlyFans is the number one United States. Small business, new small business, guy. Right.
That's the new investment no program.
If it's number one, it ain't no damn small business.
Right. Well, for now,
No. I mean for the users. You know, that's the quickest way they can get their little sole proprietorship popping or their little LLC.
You know how many college funds they have made?
You know all them OnlyFans hoes when they got them PPP loans?
They sure did.
When they shit go dark, you know they got audited, goddamn.
Listen.
I've been clapping cheeks since 2019. You know, my business requires good lighting, makeup. and I just leave it alone because, like, I'm trying to level up in this industry. And, you know, at first it was good using iPhone, but now I need Canon Nikon cameras. So, yeah, give it to me.
Give it to you.
Need the right light for them angles, goddamn.
Oh my right God. Light.
So y'all hear that voice? That is none other than the famous worldwide international star from Los Angeles, California, Ha Ha Herbie. He is our comedian extraordinaire on this evening. He is here to hang out with the fellas.
What's up, fellas? What's up, everybody listening? I love you guys.
Do you love them? Do you really love them?
I love them. At a capacity.
In capacity.
I love everybody. But does everybody get to love me back? No.
There's a limit, honey.
There is. People are scary, especially now, since the whole, they're like, oh, this pandemic is gonna go back to normal. No, the hell it ain't. You've had people in solitary confinement. They about to be out here loose.
Yep. Like basically you got a bunch
thou of art, God damn it, thou
you
art.
Got a bunch of motherfuckers.
DJ, no pun.
Right. Because you know you got a bunch of motherfuckers out there who ain't never dealt with none of their shit. They just sat in the house of the student and say, I can't wait to get out. And
yeah.
busted out like a can of biscuits with all their damn feelings and problems they never fucking dealt with. Not one of them could have touched the fucking talk space, call a bitch, nobody. No, not
I was thinking the same guy. Thing. Y'all could at least call talk space while you were sitting in the house.
Like, bitch, you was on the gram. You could have just swiped, you could have swiped right on one of them damn hundreds of freaking therapy apps that showed up during the, I know I'm not the only one who saw all them ADHD.
No, those sponsors, they're called sponsors.
All them ADHD, all the damn therapy things that showed up out of nowhere on Instagram, on everywhere. Like, all of a sudden, you could just get all your drugs just mailed to you and you could talk to a psychiatrist via Zoom. All out of nowhere. A full ad program and everything for them bitches. Hey, you mean to tell me that you missed all that?
I was watching Oprah reruns. I was watching Ayanna stuff on YouTube. Like, baby, that healing journey last year. Woo, baby.
I hope y'all ready for this ride because y'all see they already are in full force on this evening. They are coming strong.
I always do.
Hey, black coffee, bitch.
So, Fernando is in the corner over there to the right. For those of y'all at home that don't get to see, he's in our top right corner. We Hollywood Squares tonight, baby. Hollywood Squares. He's given all of that
glow. Grandpa, what is this thing? What is this reference you're making, Grandpa?
Right. These millennials don't know what Hollywood Squares is.
We done tried to tell your ass. If you are talking to this audience that listens to podcasts, these babies don't know shit about any of these old ass references. That's why
you got squares, the $1,000 pyramid. They don't know any of them.
Oh no, they that shit.
They don't know.
I don't know nothing about a $1,000 pyramid.
Back in the, like, I was little, it would come on at like 1 a.m.
Hey, there he is. You heard that, didn't you? He said he was little. You heard that, right? That lets you know right then and there.
Look.
If it wasn't I love you love me, it was not happening.
There we have it.
So therefore.
Okay, but wait a minute.
Hey, we can reference Snatch Game from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Exactly. Okay, so
now there we go. We got two levels tonight. So I'm in the middle. Mando's to my right, you to my left.
You in the snitch and let's see. Yeah, baby.
Snatch Game corner. Yeah, I'm in the top right.
Snatch your wig off. Okay. Snatch your wig off. So y'all, y'all know the share, all that good stuff. I'm gonna jump right on into some stuff. We gotta do honorable mentions, and we definitely have to talk about the passing of Suzanne Douglas, veteran actress. She passed away at the age of 64. Stage, screen, you guys know her most iconically. You will always remember her from The Parenthood. You gonna remember her from, if y'all up it, look, I might, now so I messed up again. She was in Jason's Lyrics, so some of y'all don't remember Jason's Lyrics, but that is an iconic movie.
They've seen it, they're wearing t-shirts, they've seen that one. Yes.
And she was in Stella, How Stella Got Her Groove Back. That was one of the most iconic scenes. She was Angela Bassett's sister. And you have to see that scene where she comes in as the sister and goes after her about dating this young man and bringing this little man home that she done found in Jamaica. So, you know.
Angela, you can make a wet dream go wrong.
How could you stoop so low?
That's it right there.
I want a sex like that. I finally got it. Where it make you cry?
You know what? That I have talked about that on this show one time. It's like, I actually did have half of one good time, and I did talk about it on the show. I'm like, I've had a.
Oh, and I also forgot too. For you current folks, she is in When They See Us. I haven't watched that yet. I'm sorry.
I haven't watched it either.
I'm behind. She is
we're taking
in.
Y'all. We taking y'all black card with me.
I might have to Google that one. Wait, is it, what's When You See Us? When is that on? Where does it come on?
Isn't that a Netflix thing?
Is Netflix?
Really? It's in my queue. I just haven't gotten to
get. Yeah, I think it's Netflix. So Armand, since you're talking about you're gonna take our black card, have you seen it?
They're going to take mine too because I don't really remember the plot.
There we have it.
How is a card holder going to have no card? What?
Right.
Take mine too, goddamn.
And he ain't even seen it.
That part.
Don't try to throw us under the bus, damn it. Not tonight.
Right.
Not tonight.
It wasn't supposed to come back around my way, goddamn it. It was supposed to come around my way.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's it. We'll let you slide. And then we also lost Golden Girls. And I know y'all know Golden Girls because they play Golden Girls all damn day on every channel. Logo. On Logo, y'all David, know.
All the queens know the theme song.
Because they have...
through a party.
There you have it.
Invited everyone you knew.
They have drag queen Golden Girls, too. I did not know that, y'all. They have
They do a brunch here on Sunday.
I think they do one here in San Francisco, too, that I just...
Okay. Very good.
I want to say that I think they do that.
A studio?
They do what?
I said, come on, 6,000 for a studio. Come on, San Francisco.
Okay.
Have money.
Stop acting like San Francisco. Like
we ain't too far away. We 4,000 for a studio. So.
Whatever San Francisco is, we're 3 years.
Technically, I'm in a studio loft, and it's not that. It's definitely not that price.
You in San Francisco, too?
Yes.
Child, y'all got money.
We buying popcorn at the movies.
Right.
With butter.
With butter, and we bought a candy too. And
large drink. Y'all better go ahead.
And we eating the hot dogs there too. Yeah.
Such a good catch that I pay for everything. I'm a good man.
Mm-hmm. No, fuck that. That's all mine because I'll fucking work for it.
I know how to do a real date. I know how to do a real date.
The only time I'm going to feed you is we fucking.
Baby.
That's an investment because that means I'm going to provide you fuel.
I love that. That's the mood for
fuel.
I'm going to feed you so you can feed me.
Bingo. See?
Oh my God, I can't. So, before I forget about that, in Golden Girls, so y'all have seen that chick, y'all know I'll jack your name up. Y'all know I'll jack your name up. Chick Venera passed away as well at the age of 74. So when you're going back talking about who is that on Golden Girls, he was the boxer, Enrique. So, you know, they always had some kind of a little scam. Estelle always had a little scam. And he was the boxer that they had on there. And he had a nice little storyline. And most of y'all have seen it 500 times. Because right now on my TV, on Hallmark, they're playing Golden Girls. I'm watching it as we speak. It's in the background.
Hugh Gonzalez.
Hulu for me.
My
God. Put Betty White in some Saran wrap.
Immigration, Peppy, immigration.
That's it. Run.
You know what's funny? That's one of the few TV shows that you know that I will still stop and watch it. I would get stuck into a marathon out of nowhere.
Y'all do.
Same.
All sit up and watch Golden Girls.
Very much
love
the
it.
Same.
Love it. Like, love it. Love it.
But I will smoke a joint and be too high to change the channel and just get sucked into the entire show I just watched it. I'm like, ooh, what's gonna happen?
And as you guys are at home, y'all don't know, Lamont just pulled out their entire DVD collection.
A whole collection.
The whole collection, baby.
Come on, Best Buy.
We going to your house.
He done pulled out the whole entire DVD collection.
I'll bring a bucket of chicken, and we're gonna...
Love my Golden Girls, don't play. What?
Need y'all to know it was just at arm's length for him.
It was at arm's length, right? He didn't even have to get out of his chair, y'all. At
she's
home,
right there,
over and grab.
Right, she's right there.
Right there.
Right there.
Just among other classics that I won't go into right now.
Yeah.
Classics. Good old classics.
Classic.
So,
on porn.
Y'all keep watching Golden Girls, because we have made that a sensation, and it is the show. I mean, when you just sit at home and you just want something to watch, you can always go to Golden Girls, and it's always going to lift your spirit because the comedy was just hilarious. So B. Arthur's comedic timing was like that. B. Arthur was just.
I have a confession, mate.
Uh-oh. Our comedian in the house that we're about to get to he got a confession. Tell your confession.
I literally watched Golden Girls for the first time 2 years ago.
That's okay. You seen it?
Okay, you watched it. My friend, and now you can't stop watching it, can you?
My friend was so shocked, though. He introduced me to it. He's like, what? You've never watched Golden Girls? I was like, no. And it was on my birthday. So we were in like his house, and we just watched Golden Girls all night. I was like, I love this show. It's so great.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you for joining us.
My gay card, y'all.
You officially got your gay card now. You've arrived.
Mm-hmm. You know, to get your gay card, you had to watch all the staples and shit, you know.
Ooh.
You know it's true. Like I know coming from the South, I was raised by, you know, When I was trying to figure out who I was, all the old gay queens just get, I mean, it's like, baby, you need to watch these movies. Here, watch this.
Yeah. I mean, while we here though, like, I let go of my cable because them bitches was not serving me. Mm-hmm. And now that I see in the evenings on the over-the-air channels, they showing Designing Women.
Yeah,
I think that'll help you get your gay card too.
Yes, baby. Yes.
Designing Women.
Now that's my show, baby.
I've never seen that. What's that about?
Ooh.
Oh man, it's about these ooh, Southern bitches that had them a black gay queen that worked with them.
And honey, that clapbacks,
they hijinks. Body.
Oh, it's like
clap back, baby. Clap back. You ain't been red. And Susan Sugarbaker ain't read you. You ain't been red, baby.
Nope, you sure have not.
That's why I got my readability.
Y'all thought Electra was giving it to you from Pose, baby. You
ain't been read. Mama got it from somewhere.
If you ain't been read by Julia Sugarbaker,
right, all that part.
It's a throwdown, baby. She can read you up and down and then walk away like a Southern Belle.
That's all about Anthony.
That's called setting your ass on fire.
You know, the Southern Belles can give a good read.
So. Oh, yeah, and then walk away. That walk away means I'm setting your ass on fire, paying you right. Dust.
Just gagging.
Now I am paying you dust. You are nothing.
So all the way from Dallas, Texas, and ends up in Los Angeles, we have this amazing, I met him as a comedian, y'all. When I met Herbie, he was a comedian, and I didn't know he had aspirations of doing all this other stuff. And honey, I got video footage of him. He lit this day party that we were at. Was it the day party we were at? I don't even remember what we was at.
It was at Rocco's WeHo.
But what were we there for? What was it?
So Pastor Sammy Hayes, Vision LA Church, they had a like kind of like a little group together. It was like a celebration of breast cancer awareness.
Breast cancer, that's what it was.
So we were releasing balloons up to celebrate.
Yes, you know. Yes. Look, I'm old, baby. I forget things.
Real. Utah, that was a year ago.
Yes. So y'all, you guys remember we had Pastor Sammy on the show. Much love for Pastor Sammy. He's just an amazing being, I went to his breast cancer awareness, and that's where I got the chance to meet this amazing young man who is just taking the world by storm down there. So I said, you need to come on over to the show. We need to have you on the show. And before I could get him here to the show, because I was bringing him as just a comedian, y'all, he done dropped a damn music video on us and became a man. He's a comedian / artist, musical artist.
Yeah.
Like, get the coins every which way they come. I want it this way. I want it that way. So while y'all running over there behind, what's that little silly boy's name? Saucy Sot. What the boy's name?
Santana.
You know you can't do names. Why you try it?
I love Frosty. Oh. Come
up, like when you
come, I will slaughter your name.
I will slaughter you. So y'all better get over here. Well, like y'all follow behind that boy. I need y'all to get behind Ha Ha Herbie. That's where you need to be at, following him.
Thank you.
So
hopefully me and Saucy can do a collab or something. We can work together on stuff. Because, you know, I feel like Saucy is on a spectrum. I feel like Lil Nas X is on a spectrum. And then, like, there's me that's, like, in the middle. Just, like, you got me. But I appreciate it very much. Yes, please. My song Better is out on iTunes and Spotify. And the music video is out. So go on YouTube. Watch it, download it. You can play it for your new summer playlist. It's dope. Shout out to Julius, Gordon, Dominique Bonfils, Mantra, and Ring Ruger for collaborating with me on this project. Really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
So tell us about Mr. Ha Ha Herbie, who started out as a comedian. Tell the world. Give us your story.
Okay, well, world, I've always had an aspiration for music first. Music was my first love. So my dad's a pastor, so I grew up in his church. And so a lot of my stage presence and a lot of me talking to people came from working in the church, working within the church. And I used to sing for my dad's church. So when I moved to LA, I've been working on music since like 2000, I would say 2011, I started working on music. But when I moved to LA, it was like nothing was going right. I was having trouble meeting the producers. Then I was having trouble meeting videographers. I'm trying to meet up with writers, all that stuff, and all that costs money. So one day I was on an app called Circus, and I got on the app and it was like a gig. It's an app where you do little gigs for, you know, chump change. So I went to this gig. It was at a comedy school. And I just, you know, I was there to learn whatever they wanted us to do. And so then this lady named Sunda, who owns the school, asked me, did I ever do stand-up? Because she heard me, like, fraternizing with people there and peers and stuff. And she's like, oh, you're really funny. Have you done stand-up? I was like, no, girl, I don't do stand-up. And she's like, you should. So then I started doing stand-up. She told me to come back and do a 7-minute set. And if I do good, then she'll kind of like help me and coach me. So then I did very well for 7 minutes off the noggin. And so then she introduced me to some people at the Laugh Factory. I got in contact with I made some amazing people. I've met like Flame Monroe. I've met Tiffany Haddish. So God's been such a blessing to me. And I've done this in only a span of 4 years in LA. So I'm very grateful to God. Give all the glory to God for the opportunity. Now with the music, last year during the pandemic, I was working with Julius. He owns a school, a music school, and he teaches songwriting, composition. And so I was telling him like, hey, I want to work on, you know, I want to finish my project. I already had songs for my EP or whatever. And so I listened to him and he said, so none of these songs, I don't feel like any of these songs relate to what you're going through now. I think they sound a little dated. And I was like, you're right. So I was trying to take the easy way out. So we just scrapped the whole project. And so we got together, we wrote this song, and it's basically about just, you know, leaving, you know, if you have a fuck boy or a thought that just won't commit to you, this is the perfect song for you. And so like, when I was hoeing after my breakup in 2019.
Help somebody. Come on.
Yes, I was hoeing. I had a very rough breakup back in 2019. And so I was out here in these streets. And I realized after a few hookups, I'll say a couple. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm getting tired of this. This is getting redundant. So that song is basically me talking about like, let me find something new. Let me let go of my old ways and do better without those things. So yes. So check it out. It's on iTunes, Spotify, all that. Some nice disco track.
Love it.
love that.
Love it.
He said that.
Love it. The message that the kids need these days. Right.
Did I didn't say I was born in Houston, but I grew up in Dallas. So shout out to Soto. Woo-hoo.
Yes. He gives you all that Southern flair. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how has LA been treating you since you've been here? You say you've been here for 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So how has it been as far as differing from Dallas and Texas and everything? Because you know, the reason why I'm asking is because a lot of people are leaving LA and moving to Texas. So I'm just curious.
My honest truthfulness, if the industry wasn't, if the industry was in Texas, I probably would have stayed in Texas. I think the biggest difference, I know it has its pros and cons on both sides. So like Texas is very conservative. And so for like a gay black man as flamboyant as myself, it was very difficult to find opportunity. And it was also hard to like network because, you know, people are still homophobic still, like it's very Bible Belt. Right. And also racism is still like a huge thing. Like when you go in, like in Dallas and Houston, you won't find it as much, but if you step out of the cities, it goes from like, oh, multicultural. Okay. They're trying to hang people. Okay. Let me get out of here.
Run as fast as you can kind of vibe. Huh?
And it goes real fast. It's not even like a gradual, like, okay, this is looking like Lynch County. It's like, City. Oh, dark white people. Oh, wow. Get off my land. Like it's very much like that. I will say, but I do like the fact that Texas people are a little more friendlier. They're a little more, we have that Southern hospitality factor. So it's kind of like, we're very kind to strangers and our neighbor. We treat everybody like our neighbor. So it's like, hey, you know, how you feeling? We say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. We open doors for people. But when I came to LA, I realized like most cities, there's like kind of a cultural all around, like New York has a culture, Houston has a culture, Dallas has a culture, San Francisco has a culture. But when I came to LA, I realized, oh, you can go to different parts to get a different experience. So I feel like the true LA is like South Central, Inglewood, Carson, like all that area. Mm-hmm. But like I live in the Valley now, and sometimes Hollywood can be a little Holly weird a little bit.
Not sometimes, always.
Yeah, there's, I've just learned through the past 3 years that I was here, I didn't really know that. I was kind of naive, you know, Southern Belle, grew up in the church, very like, you know, I love Jesus, yay! And so I came out here, and when I tell you, these streets ate my ass up, baby. They ate my ass up. Like, I was like, wow, people really can just lie in your face and just have agendas and just act like they didn't do anything to you or gaslight you. So I will say this city definitely, it just teaches you how to see through people and see what their agendas are. And then also I will say, I do love the fact that it's kind of like going to school. It's like, why would you go to a school why would you go to a place saturated with people similar to your talent? But it's kind of like, it helps you move faster and it helps you grow and you collaborate with different people that you would never get that opportunity in like Texas or something. So I will say that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like
that. A nice dissertation. I'm sorry, that was very
low. No, it was perfect. It was perfect.
No, I mean, that was honesty.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say
it leads to some other questions.
The men are fine.
He said, wait, y'all, we missed that. He said, the men are fine? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. When I came to LA, like when I was in Texas, I felt like I was an 8 out of 10. And then when I came here, I was like, oh shit, I'm like a 5 out of 10. Like it made me feel like
oh, no.
But then the ones that I thought were 10s started hitting my lot up. So I was like, bitch, I'm an 11. I mean, to the point where I thought they were, you know, sometimes I do the apps. So I was doing the apps or whatever. And I was like, one story, this guy was so fine. I was like, clearly you are a catfish. You cannot be real. Like, your body.
All right, girl, who pictures you?
Right. And so I came there.
Is that a filter? What?
I came to his house. I pulled up out of that Uber and he come out the gate and I was just like, oh, Herbie, don't fuck this up. Oh, Herbie, don't fuck this
This the talk ticket yourself, right here.
Yourself. Encourage yourself. Come on, Donald Lawrence. Encourage yourself.
Oh my goodness. I don't think I'm saving any for my husband. My God.
Get in the game, bitch. Get in the game.
Body, just.
What was wrong with it?
Huh? No, his body was just. I was like,
bam. Okay.
But, and then I thought he was going to be one of them like, hey, I'm Master Mask. But he liked fishy on me. Play video games?
That is too funny.
It's a true story.
He was like, you want to play video games? I was like, I want to play anything you want to play.
That's exactly, yeah, it's a true story. It really is like that.
Anything you want to play, I want to play. I don't care if it's double.
What you like to do?
What you like to do?
What you like? Jack Daniels, Alcazay, Hennessy.
But y'all, I love it. It's this new modern thing. Y'all heard he said he got out the Uber, honey. That right there, he got out the Uber. And when he came,
let me get out of my Uber ride, see what kind of men I can catch.
Have a call up the box of shit, please. Hell yeah, because it's like, if it's a real good night shift, do you really want to drive?
That's true, baby.
Sometimes you just gotta hobble into the car and just sit in the back seat.
Hobble.
Just sit back. Somebody take me home.
Right. Sit back and hold your spirit.
Because if you fuck you good, you gonna go to sleep right after. You gonna go right, because baby, if after the set, after our session was done, I went right to bed. I went home and fell right plumb asleep. I was like, there is nothing for me to do for the day. It's one. Yeah. I'm done.
Oh yeah,
a little ice cube. Goddamn.
Maybe Ubers come in handy for that reason.
Lord,
but the Uber, I feel like Ubers know when you.
Yes.
Oh man, that fucking shame of hopping in an Uber after you done just like
made no shame.
Some interesting decisions. Oh my God. And it's just your own personal shame. Like they don't actually know. They don't actually know what the fuck just happened. But
yeah, they do.
You know.
I feel used to drive Lyft and I could tell. It'd just be a different,
you could.
It'd be a different glow. The women would come in.
Uh-huh.
Girl, your hair is all messed up. Girl, you...
Where you just came from.
Like, you're still sweating.
And sex has a definite, like... It's not a, like, bad odor, but it's definitely, like... It's flirting with workout, but it's a different smell.
It's like a mixture.
It's a mixture. It's like recreation.
Homeboy said it a while ago. What's his name? Bernie Mac said it. It's Badussi. That's what it smells like.
I can't take it. I'm done. Get me out of here.
Badussi? Okay.
Badussi. Yeah.
The
Uber and Jeff drivers know what time it is.
So it ain't the walk of shame no more. It's the ride of shame.
And there is no shame, because sometimes if you get a second wind, you might as well just spend the rest of it on the Uber driver.
You hear me? Right.
I have, look.
Like Pokemon catch them all, huh?
Oh,
I
have
everyone you see.
Do you know? Look, I am not ashamed to say I have done it before. Like, got back in a ride, and he's like, "What you been up to tonight?" I'm not. Now y'all know I don't lie about that. I'm like, this is exactly what I did. And
yeah.
Do you want?
They're like me.
You'd be like, you know what? I got some energy. Like, you want some?
I just got my second win, Uber driver.
Like if you're
charging me $8.99.
Yup.
Hang it.
Wow. Sure, there it is.
Done it right there on the East Bay Bridge.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Uber driver, for giving me all your ass.
Essential workers.
That was some essential booty. I'll tell you what. Yes. I was like,
and trust me, there's been essential booty and dick since the pandemic. You know,
yes, they have been. Yeah.
Yeah, that shit did not shelter in place. It did not.
That sure didn't.
It did not.
And any of you motherfuckers out there claiming that you stayed in the house, Stop motherfucking lying. If you are from the United States of America and you are out here talking about you stayed in the house, you are lying.
No, you went
you
to
are lying.
Baby, let me tell you, that's why I was like, I'm just gonna be honest. I was like, COVID ain't real, because baby, the way I was out here, baby, I should have been dead. I should have been dead, baby.
But I tell you, that devil 100 times.
I was like, oh, unemployment? Oh, I don't have to pay rent? Oh, there's nothing to do? Shit.
Don't mind if I do all of them. Yeah. That's okay. Exactly what, baby, do you know the men were coming, reconfiguring their entire life? Just like, you know what, is that COVID? I'm gonna keep my mask on, no face, no case. Or like, you know how popular glory holes got? Every motherfucker got a glory hole in their house. Everybody.
I did hear that early in the pandemic.
Everybody got a sheet with a hole in it, bitch.
My goodness, help us. Where are we?
No, good in hell, wear that sheet when protecting them from shit.
But you know what? Them bitches were doing whatever they can, however they can, to keep getting that dick as much as possible during the pandemic. So if you couldn't get the dick, bitch, you was going to kill a bitch. You were going to slaughter. You were going to have to purge.
Yeah. A pounding was needed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, there was lots of essential workers out there. You know how many Amazon drivers, you know, was lighting bedrooms up? You know how many UPS? and
hey, Amazon workers be fine though. They like the FedEx niggas. They be fine.
You know? Shit.
They be like,
bitch, you be bitch, you be calling Comcast, ain't shit broke. You be like, hey.
So what?
You know, let these cats out the bag over here, Chris.
Right, and they are purring.
Right, they purring. I'm like, ring them in, baby, ring them in. Come on, ring them in. So
I did have a question for our guest, though.
Yes, go ahead.
So our guest has been introduced as being like ambidextrous, multi-talented. Do you have any unspoken talent this evening, and which of those two talents that are your primaries, which one do you like best?
Oh shit.
Not old shit.
That's a good question.
I know, she's inquisitive over here, honey.
So some of the talents I didn't speak of, well, I'll say I'm just an overall artist. I love creating. I just love creating. So I do graphic design. I can paint, draw, sketch, sing. I used to sing opera, classical music, theater, got a background in theater, acting. So I would say my two top favorite things to do.
What's your medium? What's your favorite medium?
My favorite medium is painting, actually. Like, I love...
Come on, Bob Ross.
I'm talking about on a canvas with colors, just to clarify all you listeners. I go on Twitter. Kirby likes to paint, y'all. Some people into that.
Pretty little tree.
You know, kudos to those out there that's into that. Kudos to y'all.
Don't yuck that yum.
Don't yuck that yum, exactly. But yeah, I love, like, drawing and painting. So I love to create art that way. It's kind of like therapeutic for me.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and it doesn't really require a lot. Like the rest of those mediums, they require, you know, a lot of those require like, okay, I may need a team for this, or I may need to record, or I may need to do this. It's like, just grab some colors, grab a paper, and just start.
Okay. All right. So, what else we got, fellas?
In pandemic, now we've been through this. I always said people needed to do something while they were in the pandemic. Did you do anything that's going to further your career? Did you use the downtime to write more music, work on more sketches for your comedy? What'd you do during the pandemic that is going to benefit you now that we're on our way. Well, hell, we may not be on our way out, so you might get some more time. If you didn't get it right the first time, we may be on our way back in again.
Okay, because God said on 2020, God said, okay, y'all just acting up out here. I'm going to shut this whole place down.
Shut it down. Take a breather.
If I tell you, like, 2020 was a wig snatch for me. it was like God snatched my wig. I was in the club like, I told you to leave before 12 and you didn't. So that goop. For me, and I'm gonna be quite honest, for me, I definitely, during 2020, it was a learning curve for me, just healing. Like I didn't really work on anything. Like I did some virtual shows and I was like writing some music here and there. But ultimately when I was sitting in the house, I was kind of like, damn, this silence is like so scary. like I'm having to think about, like, I'm thinking about my traumas. I'm thinking about things that I've, you know, cause like I said, the past year I had a very hard breakup and that was my first love. So I didn't even really get to like heal through that, because as soon as the breakup happened, it was like, Herbie, you're going on a comedy show, or you're going to the comedy store. Okay, now you were putting you here. So it was like, work just took off after the breakup. So I was just work. So when the pandemic happened, I was like, oh shit, I need to deal with this trauma. And so part of that healing process was pretty, a lot of it was ugly. And so most of the time it was like learning not to be a people pleaser, learning kind of how to forgive my folks for not accepting me. Part of me. And then also learning boundaries with people, which was very hard. And I'm still learning from that. But yeah, I would say that's the ultimate thing I worked on last year. In a way it's looking, I might be working on some more if they close us down again.
Scratching at the walls and the windows, goddamn it.
Listen, goddamn you, Delta.
Yeah. Get me out of here! Christina, hand me the axe!
So talk to us about your new video. Like, give us the deets, honey. Tell us who filmed it, how many days, like what's the theme or the plot line of the video. Give us the vision, the inspiration.
Okay, so for better, I had multiple ideas. I might put out several visuals for it. Okay. Or I might save it for my next rollout, for my next single that's coming out. But ultimately, I didn't want to do kind of what was expected. So I was like, okay, this song is kind of like a ode to me, saying like, I'm done with you thoughts. I'm done with y'all. Like, I'm doing better without you now. I'm flexing. So I figured it would be like a storyline, but I was like, let me not do that. So it's kind of like a performance video. I got inspired by Michael Jackson, Rock With You. He was just so flamboyant, all the sparkles and the light. And it was just like, you just focus on him and the music, right? Mm-hmm. So I got with Reem Ruger. Reem Ruger is my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And he is also creative director. And he was like, hey, I see that. Let's work on it. And so he put the whole thing together, got the venue, hired the camera people to do everything. And he said, all you gotta do is just show up. And I just showed up. Now, granted, I did rehearse of what I was gonna do in the video for 3 days before I did it. But yeah, it was really inspired by Michael Jackson, Rock With You, very disco influence, and just, you know, wanted to just celebrate and be happy. And I feel like since it's summertime, I wrote the song last year, recorded the song in March, finalized it in April, and then in May we did the video. And so we got all the raw footage from the film team, and then we just started editing it ourselves. Mm, mm. So, yeah.
I think the timing's good. I mean, these hoes have been let out of their houses. They need some type of motivation. They need language to give to they quarantine base, so that they can let them bitches go. They need
facts. And thank you, because when I released it, I was like, I want this to be a feel good song for people. So when they come out of this, yeah, it's basically like, I mean, to be quite honest, now y'all gonna get, because this is the first time I'm ever releasing this information. I was gonna save it, but I'm. The song is about that, but it's actually there's a deeper message. So during 2020, I found that I was diagnosed with severe bipolar depression. And so for me, that song resonates with like talking to yourself and finding your demons within yourself. And so in 2020, I was like a recluse, because not just because of quarantine, but it was more like I had a lot of stuff going on with mental health and like learning all these medications and like figuring out like, oh, you know, a lot of times when people see me, they like me because I'm in my manic state. So I'm like extra high, I'm high on life, funny. But then a lot of people didn't see my depressive state. And so I didn't really, and those that I let close to me, when I would have my episodes, a lot of them would run up like back away, or they'd be scared or didn't understand what was going on. And so they kind of put that, I isolated myself from everybody. And so that song basically is talking about me battling with my depression of like, you know, I'm calling my Uber for the last time. You only want to meet me in the nighttime. Basically nighttime, talking about voices.
You're dark. Yeah.
I want to do smoking, get high. It's like, I'm talking to myself. I cut you out of my life and you wonder why I, like you just cutting it off and saying, you know, I'm better without you. Like you're better without them. So yeah, anybody listening, you're better without that job. You better without that ex. You better without that girl. You better without that man. You better without your old self. You're better without it. So keep striving, keep shining. Love you guys.
Give them inspiration. Come on through, Ha Ha Herbie. Come on through.
Listen.
He told y'all.
Give them that fucking oomph. Give them that kick in the ass that they need, God damn it.
I have that too, because you know in Texas, like, that's another thing I forgot to mention. In LA, very passive here. And, you know, a Southern queen like me, I'd be like, girl, I'm tired of talking. What you want to do? I'm tired of talking. Well, I just think, well, girl, figure it out.
I know.
Like, do it on your own damn time, but I ain't got time for you.
Right. I was like, girl, you trying to
slide something in. He slid in that the producer was his boyfriend. Y'all heard that, right? He slid that on in.
So then,
we just didn't want to jump down his throat about it.
We do need to find out
the deets about this though, because you had said something about a breakup in 2019, and then you had said something about a videographer boyfriend. And then you had said that you was in a panorama, and then you had said nothing about how you had met said videographer.
Right. Mm-hmm. You ain't getting away with that, baby.
Not with this group.
So CTJ, he wants to know. He needs to know these deeds, honey.
We do remind you, this is called the fellas point of view. Like we
yes. Yes, my creative director is also my boyfriend. So
me, you out here sleeping with the help, goddamn it.
Well, if you know Hollywood, the help is what makes you.
Call it.
You know, they're only stars because their team has the ideas.
Right.
The team goes.
Yeah, come on.
What's her name? Promises.
Come on.
Disney left her and so did her career. Just like, the sex was spectacular. Oh, girl. Oh, mess. Oh, she had that Shake and go, Whitney Bob. I could take it.
Oh. Oh no, don't bring up Whitney's Shake and Go. Let me tell y'all something. Nothing gave away the crack like that Shake and Go Bob. Goddamn. Nothing gave it away like that.
That asymmetrical.
Yes, nothing gave it away like that.
That was an era.
That was a dead giveaway.
Go out and give a set. We about to get
us. I make too much.
That shit was a cry for help.
Crack is whack.
Crack is whack, baby.
She said, Diane, do you know? Do you know? I was like, she about to punch the hell out of
Diane. She really is, but she about to fucking go upside down. Yeah, goddamn.
Oh my God.
Show me the receipts.
Okay, so tell us, show the receipts. So where did you meet this young man at?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, hopefully I can inspire some hopeless romantics on this that's listening. First thing about me is that I do not operate on this monolith of like true love and like how you're supposed to find true love. I think you can definitely, there's unconventional ways of finding your lover. And so when my ex left me, I was very
raggedy bitch.
Yeah, I was
we
very
hate that home.
And it was worse because I helped him move out here and like it kept
ooh, him. Bitch, that's my biggest fucking nightmare about an LDR and moving that motherfucker in. Like you done help this motherfucker start anew and then it fuck up. Oh shit. Sorry.
But now I heal from it, and I feel I wish him the best. I hope that he's doing well. I just know I'm doing better. So, but
like a boom.
Literally the day after I was, that was my first relationship ever. I never been in a relationship, and like that relationship, it was a lot because like my family disowned me. I was dealing with friends not agreeing with me. Like, I wasn't ready for all that. Cause a lot of people, quiet as kept, when you're in a relationship, people love you when you're single and gay. But then when you're in a relationship, then it's like, oh, it's real. You for real gay. And so then, and a lot of people don't want to talk about that. Oh, I love gay people. As long as they're single, doing my hair, doing my makeup, giving me my keys and, making us laugh. But then as soon as they like, oh, this is my boyfriend. Oh, you mean your roommate? No,
this is my friend. No, I suck this dick on the regular, honey. Hello. Mm.
Deep right. That bitch, shit.
Marks.
So
shut up, Fernando.
I wonder if I baby.
Tell it, honey. Tell it. Oh, wait. Did he just call baby? Tell it all. Wait, y'all. Y'all hearing it live right here. Hey.
Uh-oh. I think he's asleep.
Oh.
Yeah, he's asleep.
Night-night.
I was heartbroken. So I did what anybody else would do. I was like, I don't know what this feels like. I never knew what breaking up feels like. And then not only that, when he blocked me, I saw like, oh, I kind of created a fake page. And I was like, oh, he's with somebody else. So this Negro's been cheating on me this whole time and building a life with this other dude. I was triggered as hell. I was like, I've never dealt with this before.
True.
So I was fucked up. So I was like, okay, you know what? I don't like this. So I got on Jack. He was the first person that hit my lineup and I went to his house. Damn. But I went to his house. That
sometimes. Look, as you do when you're gay, don't do it, people. Do not put that shame over here.
Right.
You went with the first one on your first time too.
Right. And he was fine.
Get off your horse.
Like,
listen.
I was just like, hey, I pulled a Halle Berry. Make me feel good again.
I want you to touch me on my insides and call my name.
Touch me on the inside parts and say my name.
Say my name.
And so, but then like, like with any hookup, that you kind of venture on your own separate journeys or you go, and so then we kind of like lost contact with each other.
Yeah.
So I was glad because there, I always felt like he was my boyfriend. I always felt like our spirits were supposed to be together, but I didn't think it was the right time. And so I was healing and I was still going, you know, I had my little rotations going. And so fast forward the whole 2020, I was in an entanglement with someone very toxic.
Come on, entanglement.
Damn, we don't went from that. Now we in an entanglement. Shit.
Thank you, Jada. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was in an entanglement with somebody very toxic. FYI, y'all listening, trade is dangerous. Do not date trade.
Let me tell you something. Trade is some of the most disappointing ass motherfuckers ever.
They really are.
So disappointing.
You know, I fuck with you and everything, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I gotta keep a certain way in these streets.
Okay.
You know,
the damn time.
You know the one thing I love about being ADHD is because I don't have enough attention span to give a shit about whatever you're trying to run on me. Like, bitch, you have to repeat yourself multiple times because I done checked out multiple times. I ain't really got time for none of your bullshittery.
Okay, because I was like, baby, this queen is going to be flaming no matter where she goes.
Right, so, like, you thought you
were going to call. All right, quick. Let me do a sidebar. I just need a 5 seconds. God damn it, Concord, July 4th is over. Stop with this Baghdad Cafe. This shit is crazy. I'm over it. Stop with these goddamn MD-80s or whatever the hell. It's the what, 9th? Stop it. Check.
Listen, we all sitting here listening to fireworks in the background.
Okay, I am confusion because when I was younger, I don't think that was a thing. I thought fireworks ended at July 4th.
When we were kids, we did. Fireworks go from July 4th to Labor Day.
And I'm just trying to figure out what celebration is happening on weekdays.
Nothing.
Not a goddamn thing.
Not a goddamn thing.
Using your EDD money.
Bye. I mean, out here in California, like I'm like, when I hear them shits, I'm just like, the audacity. It ain't been a motherfucker dropping rain out this motherfucker in months.
Come on.
And you got the audacity to put a firecracker in the air? Like, man.
Did you see the day, sidebar, did you see the day that they're asking us to use 15% less water?
Yeah.
15%? I heard they was asking Marin County to use 40% less water.
Damn.
40%.
Bitch, bathe on Monday, Thursday, and Sunday, ho.
You can't wash your ass with that.
Nothing. You gotta recycle your water. The same water you make your tea with, wash your ass with.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I can't take this. Earth is getting ghetto. Earth is ghetto. I can't do this.
The ghetto.
Yeah.
Lord, ghetto.
Put me on a different planet. Put me on a rich planet. Put me on a nice planet with good, clean water where I can use 100% water.
I'm willing to try out Mars. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, at this point, because baby, I'm just like, people shooting fireworks still. It's people still shooting fireworks now. And I'm just like, that's another thing about the pandemic. Side note, that's the other thing I learned about this pandemic. Some people need to work a 9-to-5. Some people need to be busy because
Some people really do need to just be like you. Like you need some business.
Yes, because clearly I'm just like you shoot fireworks at 9:48. You don't got no bed to sleep in. Oh, it's Thursday. You know what? Be really exciting. Let me go shoot some fireworks. I know your kid's hungry. Fix them dinner.
Right.
I just went through. I'm telling you, I was just in Baghdad Cafe. It went on for like 10 minutes.
I'm telling you about our love story, how we found each other. Should I tell them? You can come here and tell. You can tell them.
Love is in the air, baby. Love is in the air.
Bring me. You got me a Slurpee.
Ain't that you brought me a Slurpee, y'all? He said he brought him a Slurpee.
Look at that. Ain't that love? Goddamn it. Look at love.
Look at love. Isn't it a beautiful thing?
Mine just bought me a slice of my pie I made earlier.
Look at that.
My lemon icebox pie is delicious, though.
Look at all these cat men just rubbing it in our damn face.
Right, ain't they rubbing it in our face? Some of us is single, goddammit. Some of us.
Little Herbie over there, like, babe, come show him your dick.
Then, wait a minute. He really got a whole man over there. Shit. I mean, what's on the other side of my bed?
I can't see.
A pillow and a damn stuffed animal. God damn it. What the hell going on in this damn world? What the hell? And damn it, I'm fine. I'm a good catch. What the hell?
Well, you are. But, you know, this is the thing I learned is, like, a lot of people had this philosophy, like, oh, well, I'm going to save mine for my man. No, girl, get yours. Go and get yours. You can't turn a hoe into a husband. Like, you can. I don't know where that logic came from. I don't know. Because in the South, I was taught, like, oh, you don't want to have too much sex. You don't want to do X, Y, Z. It's like, no, baby, you need to go out and learn about what you like, what you don't like. I'm not saying have sex with everybody, but, you know, date, talk to people, have sex, figure out what you like.
When you figure it out, slow the hell down.
Yes, that part.
Yeah, I got homegirls that'll be like, what am I gonna do that for? I need to get the vibe that it's gonna be good. No, bitch, just go do it.
Bitch will. So you better keep.
Shit, just go do it. You never know how it's gonna turn out.
Right. What you won't do, the next one will do.
Man, through you better know it.
Fucking.
I ain't sucking his dick. Well, okay, girl. Well, he gonna hit my lineup. You better be careful.
What you don't suck will be in my throat later. I'm just telling you, bitch. I said, waste not, want not. Shut the fuck up.
Waste not, want not.
How many licks does it take to get your husband? Let's find out. A 100.
I was like, at a certain age, I'm not looking for no motherfucker to do shit for me that I can't do for my motherfucking self. So the only thing you can give me is what you got going on right now. So you better do that well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Don't call me sideways. Fuck me sideways. Don't call me sideways.
Okay.
Like, yeah, like I told y'all, like, I'm like my, like, I will be in an open relationship for the rest of my damn life and I'll be cool with it. I'm going to be 88 years old and I'm going to still be fucking.
I have a question, Herbie.
Yeah.
Fernando said, I'm going to be old as hell, pussy popping on a handstand. Okay.
Somebody pass me a crutch. I got to go out.
Look, what are your views on polyamorous relationships?
How is this the topic? I was just screaming about this earlier today.
Okay. I always say, this is life teaching me. I never say what I will not do ever if I've never done it. Why? Because I have this weird thing of what God does to me is when I judge or think about, I'll never do that. I get in a place, life takes me in a place where it's like, oh, well, I'm here and this is happening. It's like, well, you said you wasn't that, so now what? It's like, well, girl, I didn't know God. It's like, exactly, give me your wig. So, what I will say about polyamorous is that I think what's the intention behind it? Because I feel like for me, I can't multitask like that. It's hard already dealing with one person. So dealing with multiple people and their emotions and trying to navigate them, it's very difficult. I can't imagine that. Like when people really think about it, like, trying to be emotionally available for a lot of people in a different magnitude than friends and family and your lover. So that's one thing. Now with the, like, if it's just like, okay, I love this partner and these people are just for like some kind of kick. I want to, you know, get my rocks off with this. I personally feel like, for certain people, maybe establishing a foundation first before you go into that. Because what I've seen a lot is that a lot of the girls will get into these relationships and start it off the bat with, like, let's be in an open relationship and don't really know what the polyamorous or like what an open relationship actually means, nor have they built a strong foundation or structure to where the other outside elements would not break their bond or their relationship. So ultimately, I'm like, if it works for you, let it work for you. But also make sure that you set your intention right with whatever it is you're doing. And also just ask yourself, do you have the capacity at this point to do that? So intention and capacity.
Look at that. Child, Herbie over here dropping some nuggets on y'all this evening.
I've been in these streets, girl. I can teach y'all something.
Look, you asked the question, what you think about it?
Ooh. Well, we know where I am with polyamorous. I'm open to it.
I don't like to know. I don't know.
I've always said that I was open to it. And y'all, because I got it before, I said that I wouldn't never do it. But after I started watching Triangle, kudos to Triangle, found it on YouTube, and I've become an ultimate fan of Triangle. Watching the relationship play out on there, I was like, I could do this. Because if you set boundaries and you have discussions up front about what do you want to accomplish out of this. And you know, for me, I just need somebody to cupcake with me at the wineries. You could be with them 90% of the time, but 10%, you know, hang out with me at a winery. Go to a little social gig with me, hold my hand, tell me I'm cute, something like that. I could do that.
Yeah. And then like, just, you know, on one end too, like if, you know, I heard this from a friend of mine, they're in an open relationship, and realistically, he was saying, like, you know, there's some days I don't want to bother him, and he wants to talk, and I don't feel like getting I don't feel like prepping. So if he want to go find himself real quick, come right back, that's fine. And it's like, I was like, huh. And I'm like, that works, you know, that works for them. And so it's like, it's anything, you know, if, like, any relationship, we don't know what's going on. There's straight people and couples that's out here having threesomes and orgies in their relationship. And so we don't know. We don't know what Jay-Z and Beyonce doing. You know, they could be we talk out about here. You know, I feel like they be having some freaky sex. I want to watch. But other than that, it's just like, we don't know anyone's parameters relationship. And so, but all we know are the results of bad ones, because the bad ones always air out their business. We had an open relationship and he left me. Well, ain't no old girl over here being quiet, because they in an open relationship and I guess it's just working for them.
Relationships are by design, not by committee. Like, you design your relationship how it works for you and what you're okay with. And the only way you know how to be okay with what you're doing is knowing who the hell you are. And not walk into a relationship, you know, asking someone else to be emotionally available, emotionally astute to handle your problems when it's not theirs, it's yours.
You know,
I was saying this before the show, because like all the guys know that I have been in open relationships before. My last partner and I went in open relationship. Three of my best friends have all been in open marriages. One of my friends that Ty, he's been in an open marriage for 10 years now, 11 years, in Atlanta, Georgia. Two black gay men, and they've been together in an open relationship for that long, and they've been solid. They still love and honor each other as if they just met, and they've been knowing each other since college. And, you know, and then my other friends of mine, they've been married for 14 years, and they're a heterosexual couple, and she wanted open marriage, not him. It was different all the way around. It's because she wanted more sex than he did.
Yeah. And so, ultimately, like, the monogamy and the whole construct of one person, that's it, that was designed by Europeans. Like,
it was for social reasons. We weren't genetically created to be monogamous creatures by design. We are biologically not built for that, but we created that to own property, and it was much more of a stable template that people can follow. It was for the survival of people, and it was just the story they sold to it. But realistically, you know, we have the capacity of living very elaborate, lives that have a very extensive vocabulary as to who we are and who we want to be and how we relate to each other and what we want in each other's lives. And not one should be dictating the other because you don't know. If you don't like the way I swing in my life, then it ain't your damn life. You ain't got to live it.
Then get off my swing. Bye.
Exactly. Over here trying to put the bus and Armand ain't said diddly squat. Don't be about trying to put me under the bus.
I, coming from the South to the Pacific Northwest and to, you know, and into California, the vibe on open relationship polyamory coming out of the Southeast, East Coast versus West Coast, Northwest, they're two very different things.
Absolutely.
It may be becoming more of a...
Wait, I need you to move that mic something because you're a little muffled.
Shit, my headset just went out. But it might be becoming more of a prevalent thing nowadays on both coasts, but it's still not equal. And so coming from that environment to the West Coast, being confronted with like having to change my thinking about how I date and pursue people, that shit was a bit of a culture shock. But when you're talking about these situations, you're talking about two separate things. I don't think that polyamory and open relationships are one and the same. I think that they're different. And so in open relationship world, let me see if I can get my speaker here. Okay. Somebody say testing. Testing. Okay, cool. I can hear y'all now. I couldn't hear y'all before. When you're talking about polyamory and you're talking about open relationship, you're talking about two separate things. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like in open relationships, which is what I've really had the most experience with, you know, not a ton, but you know, probably a handful of situations where, you know, being a single person coming to a open situation, it is very different, a very different perspective than like the two people that have opened their situation to allow others. And people oftentimes forget about the ask and the wear and tear on the single person and focus a lot on what the two people in the primary relationship. I mean, I think that's more poly terms, but in the relationship itself, you know, the people who establish that. The people who hold the relationship and opened it, they seem to have all the control in that dynamic from my point of view. And as a single person, you can get with it if you're willing to allow them to have all the control, determine when you all engage and when you don't. But, you know, if, you know, you somebody on the alpha side of things, like, I ain't really that cool with, like, either playing second fiddle or allowing you that much control in a situation. I'm very kind of like equally bound kind of focused when I'm involved with somebody. So, you know, for me to call on your time, if I'm a part of your open relationship, for me to call on your time and I can't get it, oh, that don't work for me. So that's how I feel about open relationships. Poly, I'm still struggling. Somebody hit me with a new term called solo poly. And I was just like, bitch, that is synonymous for you out here playing the field?
Solo poly?
Wait, solo poly.
Okay. So it's like you're single and you're just...
And you out here floating around and being attached in all different kind of poly. Like, please don't, I'm not an expert on any of it, but... So you know, I was just somebody explaining to me, and I got hit with the term twice in one week.
So, So I'll to break it down for you guys. It's the way
it works. Break it down for us, Nando.
So the essentially how it works is basically a solo poly is it's more like it's kind of, think about it like a floating waiter or something like that. They basically they don't have assigned relationships, so they kind of have more like more friendship with benefits, but more intimacy attached to it. Mm. With these relationships, so they kind of like attach themselves to multiple couples or couples themselves, and they're not tied like a traditional polyamory. You have three, and they're all like kind of exclusive to each other. Whereas a solo poly is like they have a certain amount of pods that they are a part of, but they're still single themselves.
God damn it, solo.
I used to call that rotation back in my day.
Come on, no, like, that, honey. That's what hit me, and I was like, I'm not trying to stop. You know, we in a day and age where people are like, you know, rebooting TV shows. People are, you know, putting a new twist on everything, like reinventing the word and, you know, giving something more power and all that stuff. Like, hey, I'm here for it all. But like, you know, I was just arguing with my friend today. Like, so he was like, you seem to want to downplay downplay like what a open or poly situation is. Like he was like, you seem like you want to put a negative connotation. I'm like, no, I don't necessarily want to put a negative connotation on it. I just want to understand understand two things. Are we just, if you think I'm downplaying it, do we also get, so if you think I'm downplaying it, you want me to upsell it? Like, are they upselling what their situation is? Like, are they upselling? It looks like friendship. So are you, you know, and I'm not, that's not to put down friendships, but are you in a friendship or are you in a relationship that's got actual commitments and accountabilities in them versus like a friendship, like y'all cool, y'all kick it, like y'all spend a good amount of time together. And then y'all also, you know, get the fuck, you know, so that's great. But like, do we round that up to a relationship? Or do we keep it like it? What is a friendship? Like,
well,
like, are we doing the name game change? Or are we doing, you know? And then the other thing that I want to understand is it kind of like a braggadocio kind of thing? Where like, you know, like I feel like a lot of gays get into situations where they want to. To kind of think that like our relationships are so advanced and require like this extra level of effort, you know, in comparison to straight relationships. So as to say like, well, you know, the way we do it is better. Like, I don't think that. I think like relationships are what they are and what you make them, what you decipher them to be.
True.
But let's not oversell it, girl. It's like, well, you, everybody makes their own rules. And let's just call it that.
I think also it's regional. And because I used to work in public health. So I used to work for the Ahmad Institute in the Los Angeles.
Mm, okay.
So what you said some very important things. But a lot of, especially when it comes to queer identities, not to go on my soapbox, but there's a thin line between language, intention, and then what's true. So we have like the truth. So basically like some people, now there are polyamorous relationships, right? And there's open relationships. And they, like I said before, they're most of the ones the negative we hear is because we don't really hear positive. We hear more negative about those relationships versus.
Well, there's a reason why, because they went wrong.
Right.
It's basically like a child saying, oh my God, it hurts. Like, you know, like the successful ones, who's going out there boasting about their perfect, amazing poly open relationship? It's like we happy. We ain't got shit to talk about. We ain't got to boast about nothing. We good. We cool neighbor. We ain't got shit to say. There's nothing to whine about if you get, you're satisfied.
Lamont, you need to hop in on this. We all know Lamont is in a bona fide relationship. What's your thought?
Lamont said my shit is closed. No
open. Well, I mean, I'm in a monogamous relationship now. But before, when I was single, I did get approached by a couple that we had a menage a trois, and they asked if I wanted to be their boy toy. And so I said, well, what does that entail? Because this was very well-to-do lawyer, and that was a nurse. Nice house in View Park and nice area in LA and everything like that or whatever. So I said, what does that entail? Well, they said that, well, we just need you to be ready when we are. And I said, okay, well, that's a little too open for me. I said, because number one, I'm a single person. I'm not looking to be tied down. And I really don't want to be tied down to a couple, because will I be your only toy? They said, no, you won't. They openly admit, no, you won't. You'll be one of our boy toys. And I was like, oh, no. I'm not going to be part of a harem. And we had a wonderful, wonderful session. Nice time, everything, whatever. Very in tune with each one. Nice, high, drunk, everything, all the above. But again, it wasn't for me. I don't get it. Unfortunately, in this lifestyle, it's like there's a lot of times where it causes a major problem. One partner may want an open relationship. The other partner may just want to mess around with somebody, and then they're happy with the person that they're with. You know, so my thing is, it's all about communication if you're in a relationship or what have you. If Lewis was to tell me he wanted a third party right now, I would be like, well, why? What am I doing? What do I need to do? You know, why is it that you want to experience something else? Mm. Or are you missing being the single? Fernando, I see you shaking your head, but are you missing being single and you want something else? I don't get the whole polyamorous thing, because number one, polyamorous is like a contract. Am I wrong or am I right? Is it more so, you know, that's
your emotional contract.
That's your revolution of the whole situation. Now, open to me is just what it says, open relationship, meaning we're not going to be tied down with just one person or two persons or something like that or whatever.
There's a difference. It's like open relationship.
Right. We'll venture out or whatever if we want to or whatever. So therefore, it's like, I don't get it. Some people, it works for them. I know some people who are in an open relationship. They've been together for 15, 20 years or what have you, and it works for them. You know, they're not always open. They always, you know, they have their friends that they mess around with, and you know, or they go out to the club and look at somebody, or go on Jack and get somebody, and like searching for furniture, searching for food or whatever. They search it out. They have them come over, and there it is. They're happy with that. Or this time where they just want to be by themselves, and you know, everything, it works for them. But again, it's all about communication if you're going to be in an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship or whatever. And you got to have some type of clarity. If it's not clear on what both parties want, it's a clash. And
also be mentally well. I think that's a huge thing. Because there, I taught this when I used to work in public health, you know, especially like with language. Sometimes people will use language to cover what's really the truth behind it. So like you said earlier, like, okay, I want to have an open relationship, but take some thought in that. It's like, do you want an open relationship, or do you want to be single and you just want the benefits of this person? And differentiate your intention. It's all about intention. So like, for instance, like I could be mentally, I could be mentally hurt, or like, and I'm having sex with multiple partners because I have low self-esteem, or I'm doing this because I'm trying to fill a void. But if I don't address that, I'll just cover it up with, let me paint this over. Sexual liberation. It's like, that's not sexual liberation, darling. So I will say, people listening, like, any type of relationship you get in requires work, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a boyfriend, husband, have you. And like Lamont said, it takes communication. But yeah, open relationship, it's still new. Polyamorous is still new. Well, it's not new, but it's something that's we're learning more, unraveling more about, because obviously more, the other ways.
People are more vocal about it, but it's definitely not new. There's definitely a lot of historically, there were a lot more common relationships that were like this, because there was one point of time that people really did just get married because just because of a property. A lot of women were more in romantic relationships with other women, and men were in bathhouses with other men, and then they only got together to actually have children, and that was it. And usually usually they had assistants. They usually have like their boy toy or something like that to be a focal point why they impregnate them. But after that, they really didn't have nothing to do with them. That's why separate, husband and wife bedroom became really popular, because back in king and queen days, that was really the purpose for it. It's like, that's why they had their own separate bedrooms, because like really they didn't have a lot to do with each other unless it was for the purpose of a kingdom.
That's not like now, like in Hollywood.
And so basically what ended up happening is that when we start to interject religion around our social subsetting, it was buried around a lot of male psychological insecurity. So a lot of relationships were really built a lot around male insecurity. It's like, you had to meet some requirements as to how to keep emotional happiness. And if you did not do those, then you were actually, the story was to be that you were broken or inadequate or something that way. Because men, we typically do think about that ourselves. So we had kind of interjected in our social subsetting back when, no one else was around to question it, or there was no other sexualities being talked about or expressed, but they were there, just no one was really safe to talk about it, nor had a vocabulary for it. But that's why we kind of go back to like, that's why relationships are by design, not by committee, is because you have to discover about who the hell you are and what you want. Because I definitely don't want to preference that we're not, saying that, in order to find somebody, you got to stop having sex or having as much of it. It's like, you just got to understand what sex means to you and what do you want it for? Because yeah, sex is a story in and of itself. You have a sexual story and you have an emotional story. And for men, we have a very open, expressive sexual story because it's buried in our subconscious. That's why we're the most creative about sex. We'll do fucking just about anything. We're the only motherfuckers that will put our fucking dicks in a hole and don't know what's on the other end of it. Like, so, we're trash.
we almost at our break. I want to jump just over here. I mean, we almost at our mark to close. Herbie said that we used to work in health. Tell us about that. What did you do in the health field?
Okay. So I worked with Army Minorities Against Addiction and Disease. Shout out to Gerald. Hi, Shaw.
I love you, them.
I started working in Watts, and so I was their outreach specialist. It's been a while. Outreach specialist, and so basically, I initiated creating the design, the whole entire like website, all that for them. And they're still using it to this day. So it's
the graphics side.
Yeah, the graphics, creating events for them. And then I became like I became the outreach coordinator for the Los Angeles LGBT Center. We're working with HIV prevention, and also working in like mental health and dealing with being promoted to peer spectrum navigator.
I'm glad you slid in there, because I wanted to hear your take on PrEP. What's your take? PrEP.
So with PrEP, I think, so I told this story on when I was on Fox. One of the things that people love about me and my company, I tell jokes about my HIV status. Because usually I talk about it in a joking way to have more conversations about HIV and HIV prevention. The thing about PrEP with me, I always tell this story, is that PrEP was out here, but before I was working in public health, I didn't no one, everyone demonized it. Everyone said, this is bad. This is going to make people want to fuck more, blah, blah, blah. So when I became positive, I was in a monogamous relationship. To my knowledge, I thought in my head, I did everything right. I didn't cheat. I wasn't out here. You know, I was staying protected when I was with people before I got in my relationship. And I was with this person for a very long time. So then when it hit me, I was like, oh, wow. You know, that severe breakup that happened, right? That was the result of the breakup. It was like, so not only did you cheat, but you left me with this. And now I got to figure this out on my own. And so I always talk about PrEP is one of the best things that you can ever do to protect yourself. Just because people, you cannot guarantee that people are going to be 100% with you. Also, you want to make sure you get the final say in what you want to decide in life. You know, you don't want someone to choose it for you. So I'm always, I'm always the green light for PrEP, for people to take PrEP.
See, I knew that. It's amazing, amazing, y'all. We have gotten some nuggets on this evening. Herbie has come through here like a whirlwind, baby. He done came on through here, and you have to make sure that you follow him on all forms of social media. Just go find him. You'll see that handsome face over there. You go on over there and
coming to TikTok soon.
Your TikTok. Find me on my social media platforms is at Ha Ha Herbie. That's H-A-H-A, like ha ha, and then H-E-R-B-Y.
And get that song on Spotify. We don't want no drama out of y'all. Get that song, because that should be a little summer bump, because y'all running around here talking about that person, Saucy Santana, whatever that you're talking about there. We got a good song right here on.
Keep saying that. I have no idea who this person is.
I'll send you a link.
Like,
I'm like, who?
Like he runs through my playlist.
So
like,
that boy, that's all it. You got walk.
Oh,
I'll let me see if you can walk.
I just want to see if you can walk.
I'm not mad for getting a coin. I mean,
get your coin.
Look, baby, if you want to wear, if you want to have a beard and a pencil skirt, you go right ahead, sis, because you are making a way for us. Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to make sure Herbie get his coins too, baby.
Oh, baby. Trust and believe, I'm letting them knock the door down so I can just walk on through, baby.
Right.
Brew.
That's right. It's like, oh, look at all this debris. Hope somebody can
No.
Uh-huh.
As we close out, because I think we down to, 3 minutes? Are we're at the three-minute mark?
We're at the two-minute mark.
We're at the two-minute mark. Any last-minute thoughts before we go out of here?
No, great. Thanks to our guests. Thanks for the spirit of conversation.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Please go big vaccinated. That's all I got to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vax that thing up.
Nothing to play with.
Vax that thing up.
Two people just
handsome young children. Won't you back that thing up?
Please, like, let's not. You're not Black Lightning.
Don't risk your life.
Share the podcast. Share,
girl,
share.
You look good. Better vax that thing up. You a big
woman. Thank you.
Vax that thing up.
Thank you, Juvenile.
You know, Herbie will be back. Y'all are gonna see him again. He will be back to hang out with us, because y'all know the great conversations come. We are out. You guys have a great, 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 great week. Do something positive. Encourage somebody along the way, and encourage yourself. We love you. Peace out.
Yeah.